Our sermonette today, we have Mr. John Atkinson.
Thank you, Mr. Hankey, and good afternoon, everybody. Hope everyone's enjoying your Sabbath day. You know, it's hard to believe that we're just 1 month away from the Feast of Trumpets. I cannot imagine how quick time goes. It just goes by faster and faster. It's amazing how quickly it goes. Of course, Feast of Trumpets pictures the return of Christ, our change from physical to spiritual, actual children of God, as well as other things that it pictures. And when Christ came the first time, he came as a lamb to die for all mankind. He became our high priest. He became our mediator, which he was also in the Old Testament. He was a mediator in the Old Testament as well. He became the author of our salvation. He showed us the way. He became our trailblazer, cutting down the hard places in our lives, the paths, cutting a path for us. He is now waiting to marry the church at his return, sometime after his return. So we are going to marry Christ. That's something we are as the bride of Christ. We get to do that. He was the Word, God as he was God as the Word, as we read in John 1:1-2. He was also God in the flesh when he was on this earth as a physical human being. Philippians 2:6. He gave up the Godhead, but yet he was still God in the flesh. And he is God now, today. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now there are many things Christ became, and one of those things that we're going to talk about today is the firstborn. Christ is our firstborn. What is firstborn? What is the firstborn, and what is he the firstborn of? So let's answer the question, the first one, what is a firstborn? From the Beyond Today website entitled, Was Jesus Christ Divine? It says, the firstborn, or the oldest son, among the Hebrews, as elsewhere, had special privileges. He was entitled to a double portion of the inheritance. It has been also, and especially in Oriental countries, a common thing for the oldest son to succeed to the estate and the title of his father. In earlier times, the firstborn son was the officiating priest in the family in the absence or on the death of the father. You know, this thing fulfills so many things. When you look at Christ, it just pictures certain things that Christ is. He is our high priest. He's our elder brother. He's never going to take the father's spot, of course, because God the Father exists for eternity. But it also states that Christ, as the firstborn, the website says, it denotes status and character, not his origin. In other words, he was not a created being. He became the firstborn for a reason. Now, when I say he was not a created being, I think we all realize Christ was not created. But Paul, when he was writing in Colossians, which we're going to talk about here in a second, was fighting Gnosticism. And Gnosticism thought that it was impossible for God or for Christ to be living forever because he came as the flesh. So there's no way he could be God. But God was not, Jesus Christ was not a created being. So that's what this is talking about here. The firstborn in the Greek is prototokos, prototokos. And it means literally firstborn. You know, proto, like you see a prototype of something, it's the first thing. It's the firstborn. Christ was the firstborn of God, the Father, through a miraculous birth of the Virgin Mary. He came to physical life. He became God in the flesh, and when he was resurrected, he became the firstborn spiritually. Turn over to Colossians 1. In Colossians 1, verse 15, we'll start reading. Again, this is nothing new for us. I think this is just all going over things we already know. Colossians 1, verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, speaking of Christ. So when you see Jesus Christ, you're basically seeing the Father. The firstborn over all creation. So Christ is the firstborn over all creation. He has priority and all authority as the firstborn. And since he created all things, he has the priority and authority over his creation as well. I mean, just makes sense that that's the case. So before creation, the Word and the Most High God planned that Jesus Christ, the Word, would be the firstborn. And there's a scripture in Psalms 89 that talks about that, about a prophecy of the Messiah. Psalms 89, verse 27, and it's speaking of the Messiah, says, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. So Christ, to be the firstborn, was prophesied in Psalms. Verse 16, Colossians 1, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities, powers, all things were created through him and for him. So this verse is talking about the Father creating all things through Jesus Christ, who did the creating. Like last week we heard, all things start with the Father. Well, the Father created all things through Jesus Christ. Just to think about the power that he talked about last week of the creation, just speaking a word and actually coming into play, in a sense. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Christ was before any creation, any angels, anything that was created, he was before that, as well as the Father. And verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all things he may have preeminence. Christ was the firstborn from the dead. Not physical rebirth in a sense, but a spiritual rebirth, being born into God's family. Born as a child of God. He is the firstborn. And if there's a firstborn, that means others must follow. It only makes sense. So what was Christ the firstborn of? Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 22. Again, we know the answer to this, I believe. Romans 8, verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not just the physical creation, the earth, stars, the heavens, but mankind is created as well. And there, this earth is going through a hell. This earth is suffering terribly. People are going through, we can't even imagine what some people are going through. It's just disgusting about what this world and what Satan has done to this world. But we, you know, we have our choice in it as well, too. We've made the decisions to go against God. Mankind has. For we know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains and together until now. And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. Who here is groaning within themselves, waiting for that change? I am. I'm sure all of us are. Can't wait for it to happen. And Paul says that we should be doing this. We should be can't wait for this to occur. So we have the first fruits of the Spirit. You and I are to follow Christ's lead. Christ obtained an inheritance, which is much greater than ours as will ever be. But we too will obtain an inheritance. And that inheritance, as 1 Peter 1:4 says, is incorruptible. Verse 29 of Romans 8. For whom he foreknew, speaking of Christ, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. He's our elder brother. He became the trailblazer for us. He came to show us the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we must follow. That's our job, is to follow that way. So what does this have to do with the trumpets, Feast of Trumpets, and the fall holy days? Well, you and I are first fruits, and we're going to be changed at that last trump. We too will become God beings, spirit-born children of God, in God's family with Jesus Christ as our elder brother. But you and I today are also seen as firstborn too. We are firstborn as well. Turn over to Hebrews 12, We are looked upon as firstborn. As Christ, God looks at us as it's already happened. We're not the firstborn as Christ was, but we are the firstborn of mankind, the first fruits that are to be changed from physical to spiritual. Hebrews 12, verse 22. First part's talking about how 18 through 21 is talking about how Moses was at the mountain and he was receiving the commandments and God was talking to the people and the people were just afraid. They didn't want to hear the thundering voice of God. They feared him. But now we are coming to a different mountain and we should not fear. We should have a right fear of God, respect for God, but not a fear that Israel had. Verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion. That means so many things. The mount there in Israel, Zion could be mean the church as well. It can mean a literal place in Jerusalem. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city. It means a city as well. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. The word interesting, the general assembly in the Greek means a festal gathering or a public festal feast, assembly. We as the firstborn, the church, are going to be changed before the whole of mankind. That's why we're considered a firstborn too, the firstborn of mankind. In other words, we will be first of all mankind. We will be in God's family. Will we rejoice in God and Christ at the wedding feast or the festal gathering? When that time occurs, whenever that is, we have no idea when that's going to happen. So I'm sure it's soon after the return of Christ, but we have no idea how that's going to happen. Of course, the remaining of the fall holy days picture mankind's opportunity to also be born into God's family. And that's one of the greatest things about God's plan. It accepts everybody into the family, all mankind, those who do not rebel against him. So what a wonderful plan God has for you and I. Christ is the firstborn and we as the first fruits awaiting our change. It's a wonderful that he has made us privy to this plan. And as we prepare for the holy days, we should be thanking God every day for the knowledge that he has given us. The knowledge of being changed from this physical hurting life that we live, the painful life that we live, seeing all the evil that's going on around in this world, and then see that we're going to be changed and that God's going to change this world through us. We'll be helping in that. So God, speed that day and hope everyone plans for the fall festival and has a great time doing that.